O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night divine. Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave he is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord, oh, praise his name forever, his power and glory evermore proclaim, his power and glory evermore proclaim. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born, oh, night divine, oh, night, oh, night divine.
Thank you. I appreciate all the music today. It's been great all day long, and I appreciate that. I enjoyed getting to spend some time with Brother Bishop, and some of you didn't get to hear him this morning. You've never heard him. An amazing, amazing testimony of the grace of God and how God gets people through very, very tough times. And he has a table in the foyer. Chris will be back there after the service to help you if you'd like to get some things. And as he said this morning, if it's a CD and you don't have the money for it, if you'll see me later on, he's given me the CDs and given me the right to copy them for you. But if you can afford to do it, purchase them, because that's going to help him to be able to give them to other people. And he wants to be a help and a blessing. It's very, very obvious. I'm just going to turn it over to him. Brother John, you come right ahead and preach for us. We're delighted you're here. Let's give him a big hand.
All right, brother. Okay, I've got it. Thank you, Pastor, so much. It is great to be here. I've enjoyed meeting your pastor and his brother. his brother really is a better driver than he is. And I don't know if it's having that second eye helps, but preacher made me a little nervous today, I'm telling you. And but it's a great, this is a great place to be. And you know, even as a blind person, you can sense when you're in a place and there's a good spirit. And I can sense there's a good one here. And thank you for letting me come. And I do hope the materials in the back will be a help. And on the books, if there's somebody here hurting and you don't have the money to purchase some of those, you please don't leave hurting. You let me have the privilege of being a help to you. And you just come to me and I'll get that to you. There are some CDs back there that I do not have the right to give to the pastor, but I have been told I can give you the right to make copies if you purchase one. One of them is a music CD. Dr. Eric Capace has a lady in his church that sings beautifully and writes songs. Miss Sonia Chittum wrote a song about my life, and it's called God is Always Good and God is Always Right. It's a beautiful song. I didn't know she was writing it. And that CD has 10 songs of encouragement on it, and it features that song. And I don't own the copyright to that, but if you purchase one of those, I can give you permission to make copies for your friends and neighbors and family. And songs of encouragement, good godly music can help you through a dark, dark time, I'll tell you. And when I went through depression, discouragement, there were two things brought me out of it, the Word of God and godly music. Now, notice I didn't just say Christian music. No, I said godly music, and there's a lot of difference. There really is. I don't believe in that temporary music. And you say, poor Brother John, he meant contemporary. No, I meant, like I said, it temporary, buddy, because that's what it is. It ain't going to last. But godly music will last, and so that's all we have back there. And then there's a CD. I was on the airplane. This was really a surprise to me. I called Dr. Scott, Brother Finley, and I asked him, what should I do about this thing? I met a Dr. Sims on an airplane coming out of California. And I've got a lot of miles with one airline, Northwest Airline. I have about over a million miles with them that I've logged the last 9 years. And my status, they usually put me up into first class. I don't think I deserve it. I wouldn't let a church pay for it. But if they're going to give it away, I might as well sit there. And but I found first class centers are harder to talk to than second class. I found that. And but I'm up there, and I tell you, I'm a weirdo. I love to sit by atheists, agnostics, I mean Muslim, anything I can find. You know, I just love it. And they're trapped with me. And but I'm talking to this dear Christian gentleman and Dr. Sims, and he's on the board of a family life ministry. And their headquarters are in Little Rock. He was coming back into Little Rock. I was coming in. And they have a radio program that is usually a weekly thing that deals with family. They're not independent Baptists. Their doctrinal stand is the same as ours, but I would differ with them in some areas. But this man said, Brother John, your story, the world needs to hear this. Would you please just come and do an interview, you and your wife? And so I prayed, I thought about it. I called Dr. Scott, some of my friends. I said, do you think it'd be all right to go and do that? And there's no strings attached and so forth. I'm not going to mention, but I had a large radio ministry some years ago that had asked me to do something similar to this. And in the course of the conversation, this particular man that headed that ministry up is very, very anti-King James. Well, I'm very, very strong King James. And this man asked me if he could leave out something I'd said concerning that. And I said, no, you can't. I said, I feel like that would be a compromise for me. So I made sure this particular ministry, now I'm independent, fundamental Baptist, and I use only the King James. Now, if that's going to bother you, then you just have to be bothered. And so we got down there, and that one broadcast being taped turned into three broadcasts and is played nationwide. It was the favorite, most requested program of the year. And it's going to be replayed in its entirety the 3 days leading up to Christmas. And what they did was they put it on a CD, the three broadcasts together, and sell it to us so we can make available to people. I don't own the copyright, but they said if you get one of those, you can make copies. And that's me and my Donna both in the interview, and all of us sitting around crying how good the Lord's been. So I thought I'd mention that to you as well. And so if there's other materials back there, it can be a help. Let the Lord use you to do that and encourage somebody else. Well, Pastor brags on me too much. I've not been as strong as people give me credit for. For those of you that weren't here this morning, a little over 13 years ago, the meningitis that I had and complications that went along with it caused me to lose my entire memory. I remember explaining it to some junior kids at camp. We have a youth camp out there in Arkansas. And I remember explaining it to some junior kids the year after my illness, or maybe it was a couple years after. And I told those kids, I said, kids, now you got to realize, Brother John, my wife had to do everything for me like your mother did you. She had to teach me how to eat. I could remember my Donna giving me a smiley face for tying my shoes. And I said she had to teach me how to dress myself and everything, just like you. When I got done, one of the kids came up and said, Brother John, did she spank you too? I said, no, not much, but anyhow. But I've had to relearn everything. And but oh, how good the Lord has been to me. One time a pastor was introducing me, and he said, here's Brother John. He's been through a lot of things, but he never let it get him down. And I never correct a pastor. But when I got up, I said, Pastor, can I clarify something you said there a minute ago? And he said, yes. He gave me permission. And I said, Pastor, truth is, I did let it get me down. I just didn't let it keep me down. Everybody gets down sometimes. Everybody. Just don't let it keep you there. With the grace of God, you can get back up. I want you to take your Bibles, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5 tonight. I do not know if it is possible. My eyes are just, I'm having a little more complication tonight. If those spotlights, can they be dimmed slightly? And I don't know if that's possible. If you are videotaping, I will understand if you can't. But yeah, they did. Thank you. All right. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, my favorite New Testament book is 1 Peter. It's written to hurting people. And God wants to give hurting people some counsel and advice. Now, you'd be amazed if you study your Bible. You'd be amazed how much of the Bible is written for people that are going through trials, difficulties, dealing maybe with doctrinal issues, personal issues. Much of the Bible. The book of Job, a whole book devoted to a man that went through incredible suffering. But much of the New Testament. And there's two epistles, actually three when you count 1st and 2nd Peter, and the book of James, written specifically to people in trials and suffering. And God tells us some things that we all need to know as we face it, or as those we love face it. And because my one eye that I can see is just not operating quite as good, I've asked the pastor if he could read the scripture for me. I've got the first two verses memorized. If you'll stand with me, I'll say them to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 and verse 8. Now, if I mess up, please remember I'm using the King James, not the King John. And it's my mess up, not the Bible. But notice in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Preacher, I've done forgot it. Would you get your microphone?
Sir, I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead and read verse 7.
Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.
All right, verse 8.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour.
Dear Lord, I pray that somebody will, before they leave this service tonight, cast a burden upon you, a care, something hurting and holding them down. They wouldn't leave holding it and carrying it anymore, but they'd truly give it to you. Now, Lord, we know Satan is doing his best to hinder, to fight. I plead the blood of Christ, and I ask that Jesus Christ be lifted up. May precious souls be saved and lives be changed. May hurting people be helped is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor. And if you'll be ready, we'll come back to some other verses. Casting all your care. He didn't just say some. He said all of it. If you leave here burdened tonight, the ideal of the word care is something that worries you or burdens you. We use that same word sometimes. That person is burdened down with cares, we'll say sometimes. And I don't know what might be worrying you or burdening you tonight, but I do know that God wants it. He doesn't want you to carry it. Whatever God wants you to carry, he says, my burden is light. He didn't say there is no burden in the Christian life. He's just saying the one that I give you will be light because he's there in it with you. All your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, hurting people need to be reminded God cares. And sometimes in the midst of hurt and pain and suffering, you begin to question and it'll run through your mind, does God really care? If God cared, how could he let this happen? And the devil, that's why Peter reminded us, I believe, in this passage about being careful, being sober, being vigilant. I don't believe the ideal of being sober there is he's saying, don't get drunk, although I'll tell you, you can never, ever, ever solve a problem with a bottle. You can never solve a problem with a can. I don't think that's the primary meaning. I believe the primary meaning is carefulness. I remember, you know, you're talking about messing up. I remember one time, it was like last Saturday, my first flight got canceled out of the airport, and then I missed my connection, and it was 12 hours of getting to where I was trying to go. And then yesterday, we had a delayed flight, but I got there in time, and Michelle helped me get on the airplane and things like that. But I remember one time I had a four-hour delay in Detroit due to weather. And so when I finally got to the church, just barely in time, I was a little fuzzied anyhow. And I said I had a four-hour hangover in Detroit. I meant layover. When they laughed, I said, what did I say? And they said, hangover. I said, well, I didn't get drunk, but I felt like it, I tell you. But he's saying, be careful. Now, here's why. When you're hurting, the devil uses it. I promise you the devil will try to use it when you're hurting. I'm going to tell you something about the devil. First of all, we have a mutual feeling for each other. I hate him and he hates me. But I'm going to tell you this. When you're down, he's a dirty fighter and he'll kick you. Now, let me get my bearings. Let me tell you that sometimes when I'm hurting, I have to be a little careful. I remember one time my son, Luke, he's the only one I remember really growing up. The other two were practically grown, one in college, one heading there the next year after my illness. So Luke was 10, and I remember him. He's been a good young man and teenagers. He didn't go through a rebellious stage as a teenager. You don't have to become rebellious just because you're a teenager. I've said all over this country, if anybody has a right to preach to teens, my son does, because, man, he lived it. And but one time, I was not feeling good, and I chewed him out. I was ashamed of it. And when later on, when I finally settled down, I'm sure none of you parents ever do that in North Carolina, but in Arkansas, you know, we had the Clintons, and that sort of rubs off. When I calmed down, I went to him, "Son, I'm sorry, forgive me." He said, "Dad, that's all right. I know you don't feel good." I said, "Son, that's nice of you to say that, and thank you, but no, that's no excuse. Just because I'm not feeling good doesn't give me the right to be grouchy. Doesn't give me the right to be unkind." I said, "I'm to be spirit-filled whether I'm sick or not, and I need you to forgive me." Now, listen, for you that are going through hard times, do not excuse yourself. But when somebody else hurts you, remember this. Sometimes it's the pain talking, not the person. Try to be gracious. Try to be. My Donna's been so good to me. I was given an award at a college out west, and I'm not even going to tell you what the award was. I didn't deserve it, but they gave it to me. They tricked me into coming out there. I thought I was going to get to preach, and got out there, and they did this for me, and I caught on right before this. This was about 4 years ago, and I caught on that I'm sitting in the section. Suddenly, people are starting to get awards. Now, I'm slow, but I caught on. I'm going to have to say something. My Donna had found out about it just before, but she wasn't able to go out there with me, so she didn't tell me either. So they called me up there. They asked me to say something. Boy, my mind was scrambling. And I said, "You know, I sort of think of it like this. I said, what I'm going to do with this award, I'm going to take it back home. I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to put it in my Donna's lap. And I'm going to say, 'Donna, I didn't deserve this. If it wasn't for you and God, I wouldn't even be alive, much less here. This is yours.' And I said, I'm going to remember the time she was cleaning me up for the umpteenth time. And I asked her, laying there one day, I said, 'Why are you so good to me?' And she said, 'Well, there's two reasons. Number one, I promised.' 'Promised? I don't remember promise. Where's promise?' She went and got off the wall our marriage vows. I couldn't read them. And she read them to me, 'For better, for worse, in sickness and in health, till death do us part.' And I remember saying to her, 'Donna, thank you. Thank you for keeping your promise. I'm so sorry it's this much worse, but thank you.' Do you know 70% of marriages, when long-term chronic illness hits one mate or the other in midlife, now if it happens later in life, they usually survive, the marriage does. But when it happens in midlife, as it did with us, at the prime of our life, 70% of those marriages end up in divorce." She said the second reason, she gave me a big old hug and a kiss and said, "I love you." I said, "Thank you, I love you." I told that audience, I said, "Now, one of these days I get to heaven, I'm going to say, 'God, why you been so good to me?' God's going to say two reasons. He's going to say, 1, I promise. He might remind me, Romans 8:28, all things work together good, them to love me. John told you, if you just love me, I'll take care of everything." And I'm going to say, "God, thank you for keeping your promise." And then I believe second thing God's going to do, and I believe he's a good hugger. He's going to give me a hug and say, "John, main reason is I love you." Now, my friend, let me tell you something. One of these days, I hope I have something to lay at his feet like I had to give to my Donna. And you will too. Now listen to me. We're in a battle. We're fighting a real devil. This is a real war, and there's casualties of war. And we're on a search and rescue, not search and destroy mission. Go soul winning. The reason I go soul winning when I'm home and able physically to go is because I believe behind every door is a hurting person. Every door. Somebody's hurting. If they're not hurting for themselves, they're hurting for somebody they love. I remember knocking on a door one time and the lady, listen to me, when somebody rejects everything that you offer about God, they're usually mad at God over something. Usually are. You see, sometimes people think, oh, Brother John, he talks about how good God is. Well, let me tell you something. That's not all that I say God is. He is not just good. He is also holy. He's just. He's righteous. And my friend, he's mighty angry over sin. But he is good too. He will save any sinner that wants to be saved. He'll change any life that wants to be changed. He'll come into any heart that'll open the door. Nothing too hard for him and nobody too big for him. You say, well, Brother John, do you believe God's a good God would send people to hell? God doesn't have to send people to hell. You send yourself there by rejecting his son. But I'll tell you one thing. You reject his son and he'll see to it you get there. You cannot trample underfoot the blood of Jesus Christ. God is a good God and offers salvation. Wonderful plan of salvation to anyone and everyone. But I know this, not everybody will accept him. Well, let me come. I'm going to focus on this for just a minute. How I know I'm saved, even though I can't remember it. You see, I do not have any memories. Some people's memories get jogged and something will come back. Maybe not all of it, but a little bit of it. Mine just never has. Sometimes I think I'll remember something. I'll tell my wife and she'll say, we showed you a video of that, or I showed you a picture of that. I'm remembering the picture, or I'm remembering the video. We haven't documented one thing that I can remember from my life before the illness. Well, at first, I knew God, but I didn't know how I knew God. It was like the only person that I knew in the universe was God. I couldn't remember my wife, my kids, nothing. I didn't even know my own name. I didn't know what I was. I asked my wife one day, what is a preacher? She told me I was a pastor. I said, what's a preacher? She said, well, that's somebody that tells others what God wants them to know. And I said, wow, I couldn't be anything better than that. Reckon he'll let me keep doing it. And he has. And so it didn't bother me at all that I couldn't remember that for a long time. Then as I listened to the Bible, I remember listening to the life of Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 original apostles. And this really threw me. Because now the devil began to put in my mind doubt. John, just because people tell you you're saved doesn't mean you are. Just because you're a pastor, that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Judas Iscariot was an apostle and went to hell. He didn't lose his salvation, folks. He never had salvation. God makes that clear. You say, well, why did he choose him to be an apostle? Maybe so people would know how close you can be to being right and still be wrong. How close you can be. One man said he kissed the door to heaven and entered the gates of hell. I tell you, I had written down in my Bible, I was from a divorced, broken home. My mom and dad, alcohol had destroyed their lives. My mama said I led my daddy and my stepdad to the Lord before they died, but I don't remember them. They died before my illness. Mama lived. She was 12 years sober before she died. She said, I led her to the Lord. So my family told me, John, I'm glad you forgot your childhood. It was a rough one. Well, there's some good things about losing your memory in there. Everybody here wish you could forget some things, don't you? I have. I forgot it all. Now hear me. And it began to trouble me. I had written down a page in my Bible on the DVD back there. My life story's got a picture of it. Not many people write down a page of their night of salvation. In Bristol, Tennessee, East Tennessee, where I was brought up, C.E. Autry was the preacher at a football stadium in Tennessee. Citywide crusade. I took a track after the service that night and went home and got on my knees reading John 3:16, where it said, whosoever believeth in him. And in that track, I even wrote down, they had a blank where the word whosoever was, and said, put your name in there and make it personal. And I accepted Christ and don't remember a thing of it, but I wrote it down. I even wrote down the song of the invitation they sang in that stadium that night. It's an old song, but it's a good one. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. And on my testimony tape back there, I have a person singing that song. I thought if it worked for me then, it might work for somebody now. Dear friend, I can tell you that whole story and don't remember a bit of it. The devil said, how do you know you meant that? You don't remember writing it. Here I was, the pastor of a church, and having doubt whether I was going to heaven or not. And I'm telling you, there's not anything much more miserable in this world than not knowing for sure where you're going. You see, I believe there's a heaven and I believe there's a hell. And my dear friend, if you believe the Bible, I'm telling you it is not fair to say I believe what Jesus said about heaven and not believe what he said about hell. If he lied about hell, then my dear friend, he's not worthy to follow. What he said was true. Now, I was praying, God help me clear the doubts up. I didn't know what to do. I just began to pray. Please, God, help me. I know you, but I can't remember. If I ask you if you were saved tonight and on your way to heaven, if you knew for sure you were saved, a part of your answer, rightfully so, would depend upon your memory. If you could go back in your memory to a time, I'm not saying you have to know the date on the calendar or the time on the clock, but I'm saying you would go back to a time or a period where, yes, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I hope you could go beyond just joining the church and getting baptized. Because just joining the church and getting baptized doesn't mean you're saved. I hope you could go to a time, yes, I asked Christ to save me. And there's no exact certain words you have to pray. But you can know that you're saved. I had no memory to go back to. I prayed and kept listening to the Bible on tape every day. Couldn't read. Took me 5 years before I could read my Bible publicly by myself before I preached. For 5 years when I preached, somebody had to read it entirely for me. Then I would preach what I'd studied. Well, I said, Lord, help me. A couple of weeks went by, and one day I'm listening to Romans chapter 8. Verses 14 through 16. I'm going to just quote part of it for you. His spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. Hallelujah. I push stop, rewind, play again. His spirit bears witness with our spirit. We're children of God. It was like God saying, John, it's my job to tell you you're my child. That's what I do. You don't have to worry. Just listen to me. Four times I re-listened to it. The Spirit of God used the Word of God to give me assurance I was a child of God. That's how I knew. I knew God when I woke up, even though I couldn't remember how. Now listen to me. I like what I have better than what some people have. Do you have the witness of the Spirit within? Tell you a good thing about being blind. Everybody's a good prospect. Everybody is. I did not know. I'd long since got past, and I hope you're past. I know I'm in a church in the South, but my dear friend, I hope there's nobody here so prejudiced that you would feel any different towards someone that is black as you would somebody that is white. I hope there is none of that here. I long since got over that. I live in a county most prejudiced you could ever be in. Lord have mercy. Two black people live in our county where I pastored. Two in the whole county. I baptized the first black person ever to come to our church. Moved in there from Walmart, a young man, and I led him to the Lord. Had one of my deacons come to me that night before I was going to baptize him. He said, I'm not sure you ought to be doing this, preacher. I said, well, here's what's going to happen. When the service is over tonight, we're going to have a black member, but I'm not sure how many white deacons we're going to have left. He got my message. That young man not only got saved, but called to preach and serving God. Hallelujah. But I did not know that I sized people up, whether they be good prospect or not. I didn't realize I was doing that till I went blind. Then I didn't try to read a person whether they'd be good prospect. I just talked to everybody. My friend, God's had to teach me. I'm learning through blindness. I'm learning through it. I have so much to learn. I failed blindness 101, but I'm glad God gives makeup tests. You know, most of God's tests are pop quizzes. Did you know that? You don't know they're coming. There they are. Oh, I struggled and I battled with blindness. I said the words, not my will, thine be done. And then I'd have to say to God, God, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. Like he had to hear me say it. He knew it. But I can say that now. I'm learning as my Donna leads me. We're going through airports. She pulls a roller bag. I put my blind cane on it. I call her my CNI wife. She said, as long as you get that last word right, you're fine. You ever mess that last word up, you're in the airport by yourself, bud. I'm mighty careful. One time my cane slipped off and I gigged her in the legs. Got a rile out of her. I thought, I might try that again. I'm not past something like that. One day we're going down through there and I accidentally on purpose slipped off and gigged her. She stopped. I don't know how many people around us, but I could sense and see forms of people all around us. She stops right in the middle of this sea of people. She gets that mother voice. Men, you know when you're in trouble, they use that mother voice on you. She gets right in my face. She says, you gig me at that thing one more time. I'm going to wrap that cane around your neck. Of course, she said it in love. I did what you did. I laughed. She said, what are you laughing at? I said, ain't going to happen, woman. She said, why? I said, because I can see on YouTube tomorrow night, woman beats blind man with his own cane. That's not going to happen. But I hadn't tried it again anyhow. But I'm learning to follow and listen. Do you know I'm not afraid to follow that woman anywhere? Because I know she loves me so much she'd let herself be hurt before she'd ever let me get hurt. And God has reminded me, John, you don't have to see the way to follow me. You just follow. Don't you think I love you enough that I'll take care of you? And I've said, oh, yes, God, I do. Listening to her voice. In a crowd of people, she'll say, get right behind me now. We're in a crowd or going between two vehicles. Mirror sticking out. Already had to pay for one mirror. Don't want no more. I mean, you can't rip somebody's mirror off and then walk off and not do something. And get right behind me. And I listen to that voice. She just whispers. And I'm saying to God, God, please teach me to listen for that whisper. I don't want you to have to yell at me. I want you to be able to just whisper. And there's times as she leads me, she doesn't even have to say a word. I can sense the way she's going. And oh, may we be so sensitive with God that he can lead us anywhere, anytime. Oh, may he teach us. These people were hurting. They needed help. And in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, unto the elders, write I. Now he's going to give a word to the pastors. The reason he's speaking plural pastors, the word elder is a term for pastor, one of the New Testament terms for pastor. Now the reason he's given plural is not, as some churches teach, plurality of pastors. It's because he's writing to congregations scattered all over the world. And God has embedded in each congregation a pastor. Because what hurting people need are pastors. Elder. Elder is a term, speaking of a pastor, I believe speaks of his maturity, his faith. Your pastor doesn't have to be the oldest member of this church to be the pastor, but you follow him because his faith is mature, not because he's perfect. No pastor is perfect. Husband, are you a perfect husband? You just want your wife to follow you when you're perfect? Well, forget it. You're never going to be that. And I'm not either. Now, the word bishop, when it describes a pastor as a bishop, my last name is Bishop. When I was pastor, I was a bishop. The word for bishop, it means his function, what he does. And in verse 2 of this passage, he says, feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. Now, do you see that word oversight? It's from the same Greek word translated bishop in 1 Timothy. It is not the same word, but it is from the same word. Same root word. The job of a pastor is to oversee the ministries of the local church. That's never been given to a committee. That's never been given to a group of deacons. I thank God for godly deacons. No pastor in this world enjoyed a more godly deacon than one of the men that I had. But it is not your job to oversee the church. That was given to one person, and that's the pastor. Now, the Bible says if he does a good job and does it right with the right motive. If you drop on down into chapter 5, I believe it's in verse 4. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory, he says to those pastors. When the chief shepherd, this is the only time the Lord's called the chief shepherd. Why is that? Because he just gave the job of shepherding to the pastor. Herding people need a shepherd. Now, let's get the picture in this chapter. Let me catch my time here right quick. Okay, let me wrap this up real quick. The chief shepherd of, what's the name of the church here, Pastor? Fellowship Baptist Church, the chief shepherd is Jesus Christ. Buddy, what he says goes. If Jesus says it, don't question it. He is the chief shepherd. But in the Middle East, they have flock of sheep so big that one shepherd cannot oversee them. He has one chief shepherd, and he gives to a group of 100, maybe an inexperienced shepherd that's learning, and sometimes to 500, a shepherd that is mature, and even as much as 1,000 to even more mature shepherds. But they all answer to the chief shepherd. Then, as that, the analogy of the shepherd and the sheep, we see the devil is a lion. I don't know if you know it or not, but sheep are no match for lions. But a lion is no match for a shepherd. And the safest place a sheep can be is close to the shepherd. Here's what happens when we're hurting. The devil tries to drive a wedge between us and the shepherd. Listen to me, when you're hurting, get as close to Jesus as you can get. That's the safest place you can be. I watched this animal show as a lion show one time. It was one of those educational shows. And I remember watching that. I wanted to see how, since the devil's like a lion, I want to see how that rascal worked. And I remember watching a herd of animals. And here's what the lions did. They charged in that herd of animals. They didn't kill one in the herd, but they scattered it. And then they killed those they scattered. They circled it and dropped them. And I watched this. Teenagers, hear me. They killed the youngest and the oldest first. Let me tell you, there's two times the devil's going to take a charge at you. When you're young and when you're old. Right before you finish the race. Oh, I prayed to God, please, Lord, don't let me make that last big mistake like David made toward the end of life. Many mess up at the end. Don't do it. Don't do it. And young people, be careful. The devil's after you like never before. Well, you know what happens when you're hurting? Trials come. Maybe you get mad. Oh, I think I'll just quit church. Devil loves that one. That's his favorite one. Yeah, just quit church. That'll show him. Old devil saying, I got me another one. Now let me tell you something. He cannot get your soul if you're saved. Make no mistake about that. The worst thing a shepherd could ever do was lose a sheep. And I promise you, Jesus Christ will lose no sheep. He may take some to heaven early, but he'll lose no sheep. My dear friend, sometimes a person gets hurting. You know, I've asked the Lord, when I get to heaven, I'd like a big screen TV in my mansion. Now, before you think I'm worldly, here's what I want to watch. I want a DVD and play Bible theme. Now, when I say big screen, I'm not talking about these little silly six-footers. I want a 60-foot by 60-foot. Now, you may be planning on living in a shack, but I'm planning on living in a mansion. With my Donna sitting there beside of me. If we can't be married, I ask him, can we be boyfriend and girlfriend? Maybe he'll drop that no-touch rule. But anyhow, sorry about that. I'd do about anything for sugar, though. And I want to watch. And I want a DVD that has a special button on it. And I want to play what the thoughts of the people were in the Bible times. I want to watch the crucifixion. I want to watch the children of Israel go through the Red Sea. Living color. And I want to watch David killing Goliath. I want to push a button and see what's going through that young man's mind. And then I want to push a button and see what's going through that big dumb ox standing up there. He doesn't know this fight fixed, buddy. He's going down. I'm going to fast forward when he cuts his head off. I can't handle gore much. But I want to watch when David is a teenage shepherd boy. And the Bible says a bear tried to get him and he killed the bear. I don't know how he did it, but I think I'm going to get to watch a sling killing. I think he got warmed up for Goliath. I think he's looking up there. Yeah, your head about the same size that bear was. That's a good sized target. But I got to watch when that lion grabbed a lamb in his mouth and the Bible says it wasn't a sling. He grabbed it by the beard. Took the lamb out of his mouth and killed that lion. Now, boy, howdy, that's some bravery. I got to watch that. I mean, I think if I was a teenage boy, I'd have said, Pop, I'm sorry we lost one tonight. I'll try to do better tomorrow night. But not David, because David was a type of Christ. And he wants us to know he doesn't care whether the devil's got us in his jaws or not. It is never too late for God. Never. He can always set you free. It's never too late. Well, if the devil can't get you mad at the chief shepherd, the Lord, he'll try to get you mad at this shepherd, the pastor. He'll say something hurt your feeling. My mama said this to me. She said, when you youngins were growing up, boy, I miss mama. She was my main link to my childhood. I didn't meet my wife till we got in Bible college. She didn't remember anything about me growing up. She was in Illinois growing up. I was in Tennessee. She had to go south, find a good man. So, Mama said, you youngins growing up said you'd look pale and anemic. And we'd feed you liver because it had iron in it. She said, John, you hate liver. I want you to know I still hate liver. I'll suck on a rusty nail before I'll eat liver. But Mama said this, young people, this was in the day and the age. Mama said, you could eat your liver and go play. Or you could get a whooping and eat your liver and go play. Take your choice. Hear me? Preacher cannot just feed you sweet, nice things all the time and you grow. My Donna had to make me not eat my dessert. I had to be trained just like a kid. I thought, why can't I eat my cake? No, John, you have to eat your vegetables and stuff like that. I wish God made green beans taste like chocolate. Aggravating this thing. But hear me. Don't you get mad at the man of God. Thank him when he preaches and steps on your toes. Thank him when he tells you the truth nobody else will tell you. Thank him when he preaches the word. Next time he steps all over your toes when you go out and say, thank you for that liver and onion message, preacher. I didn't taste too good, but I'll eat it. We need it. If he can't get you mad at the shepherd, the chief shepherd, he'll try to get you mad at one of the other sheep. Don't listen to him. Stay in the house of God. I'll tell you, the ones that get picked off the most are those that get out of church. Stay in church. No matter how bad you're hurting, stay in church. Stay close to the shepherd. Love you, preacher. Pray for him. Encourage him. Don't you let the devil drive a wedge. Stay close to God. I'll say this as I close. I remember one time as I was hurting deeply. And when I'd have a cluster headache, about the only position I can get in that doesn't hurt me more is when I'm on my knees with my face on a bed or a couch. If I lay on my back, just to touch the back of my head to a pillow hurts. I know it sounds odd and strange. If you've never been there, I don't expect you to understand. But just to touch a pillow hurts. To lay on the side, I get nauseated. My head spins. But I can get on my knees with my face on a bed or a couch or a chair. And I don't do it every time. I wish I did. But I try to remember to say, God, thank you for giving me something that bring me to my knees. Because anything that bring me to my knees is a good thing. I can't explain to you why God lets things happen. But I can tell you this book, the only book in this universe that can tell us about God. This book that God gave us says he's good. And he's right. Amen. And he's that whether we understand it or not. And I love him. I hope you'll love him. If you just love him and trust him, you're going to find like I'm finding. Boy, God sure is good. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, letting us come here tonight. Thank you for Pastor Finley inviting me. Lord, I pray you will help us sheep gather closer to the shepherd tonight. Oh, God, I want to be with my hands and arms just wrapped around you when I hurt. Because I know the closer I am to you, the safer I am. And dear God, I remember on that program that night when they grabbed those victims and killed them with those lions. And they drug them underneath those bushes. And devoured and ate them. I thought, dear God, a person without Jesus doesn't stand a chance. They don't stand a chance in all this world. One day the devil's going to drag them to hell and destroy them. But Lord, as believers, even though our soul can't go to hell, our life and testimony can be ruined. Oh, please, God, don't let it happen. Don't let some person here tonight let the devil defeat them in their hurt. God, if there's somebody here tonight not saved, I pray they'll come to Jesus. If somebody here would doubt, I pray they get it cleared up tonight. Don't let them leave with doubt. Lord, I remember how miserable that was. Please bless this invitation. while our heads are bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to ask Pastor to be my eyes for me. I'm going to ask if you'll raise your hand right now. If you know for sure that you're saved and going to heaven, and there's no doubt about it, would you raise your hand right now? There's a lot of them got their hands raised, preacher. Thank you. You may take your hands down. Now I'm going to ask you this. Is there somebody here tonight? Say, Brother John, I'm in the shape you were in there a few years ago. I am having doubts. Now, just because you're having doubts doesn't mean you're lost. But you need to clear it up. You need to make sure. It could be you're saved, but you've just been misinformed or misled. I don't know, but I wouldn't take a chance. Is there anybody here tonight? Say, Brother John, I'm not sure. I'm having doubts, but I know I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Are there any hands raised, Pastor? Okay. Anybody at all? Having doubts? An audience this size, surely there would be somebody. Do you have the courage to raise that hand? Say, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm not sure. All right, if every person here knows you're saved, I rejoice. Now I'm going to ask you not to raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you if you need to get closer to your shepherd. Maybe some of you need a church home, a church family. That's what God has given hurting people, is a church in which they can be cared for and loved. If this is where you need to be a part of, you need to come. If you just need to come to these altars and pray, then I ask you to do it. Lord, bless this invitation. Please have your will and way. I ask it in Jesus' name. As our musicians play, will you step out? Will you come? You do what the Lord wants you to do. You don't realize how dangerous it is not to be close to God. Oh, my friend, a sheep is in such danger when it's away from a shepherd. Such danger. You don't realize how crafty and subtle Satan is. All he wants you to do is just get out a little farther, a little farther. Get away just a little more, a little more. If you're saved, I'm not talking about your soul, but your testimony, your life, your example. Don't let him have it. Your family, don't let him have it. Pastor.
They'll play through another verse. What a great thought. The same problem that drives you away from God can drive you to God. You probably won't stay neutral. You'll probably either go to God or you'll go away from Him.